So that's part of our international response. Our local response, in terms of our local response, one of the things we're doing is we're relaunching massive Men Against Sexual Violence. Sex trafficking is happening here in New Zealand. We would like to think that it's not, but it is. I was talking to a lady a couple of weeks ago. She's in her 40s. And just out of the blue, she says to me, "Yeah, when I was a kid, my dad, my stepfather, he sold me to the Union Steam, you know?" I'm like, "What?" And she said, "But now that I'm off drugs and alcohol, I'm dealing with the pain that all that caused me." And I'm like, "What?" You know, just, did she just tell me that her stepfather pimped her out? Yeah, I think she, you know. I couldn't believe it. So it's happening in our nation. And we're launching the massive, because that's something that Jesus wants to tramp down. That's on the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God, that his big foot ain't going to come out of heaven. It's going to be you and I taking some action. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under what? Our feet, yeah. So on Wednesday, me and Nanaru, we're heading over to Dargaville. We're going to a sexual violence prevention hui there. Our goal is to establish 7 Men Against Sexual Violence groups in the nation of New Zealand. And Kaikohe first, Kaitaia second. We've got some guys up there. I've met a man online. I haven't met him face to face yet in Christchurch. His 18-year-old daughter was drugged and raped in the Mama Hooch bar down in Christchurch. Those predators have been charged, have been arrested, have been put in jail. But I contacted her, one of the fathers, and I told about this Men Against Sexual Violence and what we want to do. His response was, "Yeah, I'll set up the Christchurch one and look after the whole of the South Island if you want." I'm like, "What?" "Okay, I'll get back to you." He's passionate because that was his daughter. And it was his daughter who had to have the courage to stick to her guns, go through that police thing, go through the courts thing, all the shame of all that, fight and stand up for justice. You know? I don't even know if the man's a Christian, but I do know that he's a man against sexual violence, so he's my mate. Yeah. So we'll follow him up. We've got our local Baptist pastor here, Rewai Te Kahu. He's the chairman of Male Survivors, Aotearoa. And he's on board with us. We're going to set up an expo here in town in the summer, a health expo where people can come and access healing, access resources to deal with the trauma of sexual abuse and all kinds of things like that. So that's on a local level. We could talk more about that. But I want to finish up in the few minutes remaining talking about our personal response. Our personal response, you and I, of the issue of sex abuse and child trafficking and that those related matters. How do we personally respond? How do we have a strategy for our life in dealing with these kind of things? And let me see, there's multifaceted ways. You know, we could do a hui, we could do a conference on this, how to prevent sexual, you know, we could talk about all kinds of things. So I asked the Lord, what's the main thing we need to do? Because we could go down every, you know, little alleyway and stuff like that. The main thing I want to put out this morning is we need to personally make sure that we are living a holy life. That's the number one thing. We need to personally make sure we are living a holy life. If you notice in the scriptures that in Revelation 19, where the Lord reveals to John about the armies of heaven. So we understand now that there's armies in heaven and there's armies on the earth. We're the earthly soldiers. But we notice this about the armies in heaven. They are clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Revelation chapter, you would have thought he said they were clothed in bulletproof vests or something. They're clothed in white linen, fine and clean. That's their army, that's their battle dress, right? Revelation chapter 19 and verse 8 says, the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Here's the challenge that the Holy Spirit is bringing to you and I this morning. If you're going to join the army of God, You need to be a holy warrior. You need to eradicate sexual sin out of your life on every level. Oh, how good I am. And we could go down a few different paths here. But there's one path that I want to hit this morning because we've got limited time. And that's to say the area of pornography. If you're involved in pornography, you need to stop it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 and 10 says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." The word fornicator here in the original Greek language is porne. Clearly where the word pornography comes from. Pornography comes from the Greek pornographos, meaning porne means harlots or of a harlot, and grapheme to write. I want to say, and this is uncomfortable to say in the churches today because it's actually a hidden sin in a lot of people's lives, and that is that if you're accessing if you're in the habit of accessing pornography, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm not saying you won't be saved and that you're going to burn in hell. That might be what it says. But what I'm saying, can you hold that voice? And if you want to talk to me later, that's fine. Because this is really important that people get this. But it's important that people get this. So if you'd hold that, please. Yeah. Would you give her a tap next time? Just a gentle one. Just a gentle, don't assault her. That would be go over the top. Just a little tap. Yeah. Because this is important. Yeah, it says we will not inherit the kingdom of God, and we could debate what that actually means, but I think we all understand that it's not a good thing, eh? Whichever way you turn it. And to make it clear, Paul says it twice. Don't be deceived. To make it clear, he says twice, you will not inherit the kingdom. Every time you click on pornography, what you're doing is aiding and abetting rapists and human traffickers. For the one woman that you may find who says, "I enjoy being a porn star and I get paid lots of money," for the one that you may find who says that, you will find millions who have been raped and abused and degraded. Millions of women and children and some men also being degraded in that way. Millions of them. So somewhere in your privacy on your phone or on your device, you're clicking on the pornography. Somewhere else in the world, someone's been abused and raped and had that uploaded onto the internet to be defiled over and over again. So that's why we need to understand that by accessing pornography, we're enabling that. We're creating a demand for that, and that's why we need to stop that. It's not just your own personal sin, then you're not hurting anyone. That's a lie from the devil. What did the man say in Corinthians? Don't be deceived. You're creating a demand. Now, one of the problems with the internet pornography, I've done some research on this, is that when you click on those images or those videos or whatever it is, it releases in your brain a chemical called dopamine. Dopamine is a very powerful chemical, and it gives you a hit, like a little rush. And that's why, to a certain extent, Facebook does it too with the likes, to a certain extent. But with the pornography, it boom. And you get quickly addicted to it, which is why people find it so difficult to break the habit of pornography, because it gives you that hit. It gives you that buzz. And it's actually highly addictive. And that's why it's so difficult. And I could talk to you this morning a lot more about the harms of pornography, but I won't. But I want to emphasize I want to praise God for verse 11 in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 there, because verse 11 says, "And such were some of you." So he says all these sins, fornicators, homosexuals, sodomites, drunkards, all these kind of, And he says, right, you only hear at the kingdom of God. And then he says, and some of you were like that. Were is past tense. So that church in Corinth was full of former pornographers, homosexuals, sodomites, you name it. There were drunkards, revilers, extortionists. The church was full of them, and they'd come out of that life, and he's saying, some of you were like that. Praise God. That gives me hope that we don't have to stay in our sin and our entanglements. He says, but you were washed, you were sanctified, that means set apart. But you were justified, that's just as if I'd never sinned. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, yeah. Justified, I've never done it. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. You can live a porn-free life. I mean, I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. For all I know, 100% of you here are porn-free. But if there's even one person in the congregation today, I want to tell you, you can live a porn-free life. You can live a sin-free life. You say, oh, porn's not my sin. Well, whatever sin is your sin, you can live free from that sin. You don't have to walk around saying, oh, I'm just a sinner, saved by grace, I'm not perfect. Yeah, we know that, but you can live free from that. That's why Jesus went to the cross, to set you free from that, not just to struggle on, to struggle on, to struggle on. He said, he whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. Not free a little bit, free indeed, truly free. You know, a few years ago, and Allison wanted me to define what the word few means. Several years ago, I could not speak to you on this subject with the authority that I'm speaking with you today about it. Why was that? Because several years ago, even as a pastor, once or twice a year, I would find myself getting back entangled in pornography. Does that shock you? Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's the truth. The truth is that several years ago, once or twice, maybe sometimes 3 years in a bad year, I would trip up into pornography. And I'm not necessarily talking about going on a big porn bender or anything like that. I'm talking about, you know, doing stuff I knew that as a man of God I shouldn't do. And it came to the point where I had to say, well, am I serious about being a man of God or not? Am I serious about being free from sin or not? Am I going to go and bang on about, we got to get, you know, treat women with respect and all this kind of stuff, and I've got this sneaky little thing on the side? I've got to get real with myself. And I want to tell you that that's what every single one of us has to do regarding habitual sin, is we have to get real with ourselves and decide whether we really, really, really do want to change, or whether we want to keep that thing in our back pocket for that day when you're feeling grumpy, that day when you're feeling sad and all lonely and all rejected and all that kind of stuff, and go back to those things that comfort you. So I learned what would trigger me in terms of pornography. I learned those areas where I was going to be weak and that kind of stuff. And I learned some strategies, and I want to tell you today, God will give, if you're serious, God will give you the strategies to come out of your addiction, whatever it may be. Strong, you got to, that desire to serve God has got to become stronger than the pull of the flesh. You have to decide today, you have to decide today, whose side are you on? Are you going to be on the side of the rider of the white horse, or are you going to be on the side of the powers of darkness? You know, make a decision, and on that, yeah, I know which one I would go for. We had a young man, loved the Lord, lovely young guy, struggling with porn addiction. His main area that he would use to access porn was on his iPhone. I said, brother, if you really want to get free, get rid of your iPhone, and just get a regular phone that just has no internet connection. I don't know whether he took that advice or not. Which showed me a bigger, he's addicted to the jolly phone. You know, even above all that. You don't need to have an internet connection on your hip pocket 24/7. We used to live without it, believe it or not. Some of you are my age, we used to live without internet 24/7, eh? And we would ring people up just on a regular phone, all that kind of stuff. You don't need Google Maps. You don't need all the excuses that you have that think, make you think that you need to. You don't need to be blimmin' Facebook messaging everybody every second of your life. And amen. Yeah. And I said to this young man, get rid of your phone, get a regular phone. And I don't know whether he did or not, but I reckon if he did, he'd be free today, because that would be so many hours of his life, you know, that he wouldn't be even tempted. So you've got to get serious. What did Jesus say? Pluck your eye out if your eye's causing you to sin. Chop your arm off. Better to go into heaven with one arm. You've got to get, yeah. So take, yeah, this measure, but that, yeah. And if you stumble and fall, if you decide today, that's it, man, I'm giving up that sin, that's it, and you fall flat on your face within 24 hours, you're useless, just like me. If you stumble and fall flat on your face, you confess your sin to God, and He is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You get back up on your feet. You get back up on your feet. You get back up on your feet. You don't wallow around in self-condemnation. Oh, I'm so miserable. I'm such a sinner. I need to punish myself for a week. I better not go to that church because I'm too unholy to sit with those holy people. No, you confess your sins to God. You get rid of it. Yeah, you tricked me that time, devil. I'll be on to you next time. And you get back up on your feet and you go again and you don't give up. You carry on. You carry on going. And your relapse will get less and less. The gaps, you'll go from 2 hours to 6 hours, 6 hours to 1 day, 1 day to 1 week, 1 week to 1 month, to 1 year. And then one day you'll be testifying, I am free from that thing. And you don't goof off and get all complacent about it. I'll go, oh, that means now I can just, you know, cruise around the internet, go wherever I want. No, you got to, you know, if you're dealing with alcohol, you don't go down to the pub again to show how strong you are. You avoid those things. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from every evil. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can endure. And in the temptation, He will always provide a way out for it. Your mother will ring you up just when you were getting really tempted. Oh, sorry, I got to go. Mum's on the phone. Something like that will happen. God is always, it's going to be your choice, your choice. See, so God's calling the church to holiness. And you have to put on your linen garments, put on those holy garments. And you will make mistakes. We're not talking about being perfect here, but you've got to put on the linen garments. And if you're going to ride with the King of Kings, you got to put on the right gears, the linen garments, the robes of holiness. You guys okay? So I'm mindful that I'm going to be a bit merciful. Shall I? Go for it. I was going to be a bit merciful. I might hold back. I might not mention unmarried couples today. Okay. I might not mention some of those other areas that need to be mentioned, need to be addressed in the house of God. And we could probably start to. But why don't I turn it back on the leaders? Turn it back on the pastors. Yeah, let's do that. Take a little bit of heat off you guys for a second. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 3. The Lord says, my anger is kindled against the shepherds. Ooh, the pastors. My anger is kindled against the shepherds. Oh, man. Be great, eh, if all the pastors and leaders of the churches stopped getting into porn and molesting kids and having affairs and all that. And we need to raise up a standard here. My anger is kindled against the shepherds, and I will punish the goat herds. The Lord of hosts. What does Lord of hosts mean? The captain of the heaven's armies. The captain of the heaven's armies will visit his flock, the house of Judah, and will make them his royal horse in battle. Woo! He's equipping the body of Christ to be Wow. Yam, your God. So I look forward to preaching more in Zechariah chapter 10. But let's just hit this home now. God is raising up a generation of holy warriors who will trample down the works of darkness in their own life, in the community, in the nation, and in the world today. That's what he's doing. An army of saints dressed for battle. He's calling you up. He's calling you up. He's calling you up. He's calling you up. He's calling you up down the back there. He's calling you up. He's calling you up. In here, he's calling you up. He's calling you up to put down the enemy underneath your feet. But he's calling you up. He's not pushing you down. He's not condemning you. He's calling you up to put the enemy down under your feet. But he's rising you up. He's rising you up, Jake. He's rising us up down the back there. Trev, rising us up. Elliot, Isabel, he's lifting us up to put down those things underneath our feet. Hallelujah. He's made you, this is what the scripture says, Nahuyah, he's made you the head and not the tail. This is what it says, Jimmy James. He says, you are above and not beneath. Above and not beneath. That's what the scripture says about the people of God. He's calling you. He's calling you. Take your stand. Take your stand. You take your stand. Don't give up. Tell the person next to you, don't give up. Don't back down. Don't back down. Don't back down, Leonard. Hallelujah. Don't back down, Ralph. Don't back down. Don't slow down. Don't slow down. Let's take it comfortable and easy now. Oh, man, that's the big temptation for the Christian. Oh, look at the time. I married this young girl. We're teenagers. We're lean, mean, hungry, literally hungry. No job, nothing. Scored the job, got the mortgage, bought the house, all these kind of things very early in my life. Cracked it. And I thought, oh, let's just settle down. Let's just settle down to being a normal Christian. And she said, no, you don't. You will backslide. The lukewarm Christian life is the most boring life in the world. I would rather be a hardcore sinner than a lukewarm Christian any day. What is the point of one foot in, one foot out? What is the point of that? You're useless to the devil. You're useless to God. Take one foot and put it in the camp that you want to serve. Now, for those amongst us here who haven't made that decision to serve God yet, yeah, I want to say you need to count the cost, you know? Don't think that because you're not ready to make that decision right now, that you're missing out or something like that. You count the cost. But once you've made up your decision to follow the Lord, follow him. Yeah. If you're still seeking him, trying to work it out, get to pray, work it out. But once you get in the waters of baptism, that's it. It's over. You're done with the devil. You're done with sin. So don't slow down. Don't retreat. Don't live a half-life of compromise and defeat. It's boring. Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14, says the backslider is bored with himself. That's in the New Living Bible. So it's your choice, saints, and I want to just encourage you that if you make the right choice, the power of the Holy Spirit will sanctify you, set you apart, body, soul, and spirit. It's not about your willpower. Praise God for that. Praise God. It's not about how disciplined you are and I am. Some of you had heard my testimony. I was a dope smoker, a young fella, very lazy, very immoral young person. I smoked dope whenever I had the chance, get drunk whenever I had the chance. The Lord worked in my life. I started on the journey of following him. And one day he powerfully showed me to give up smoking drugs. I was of the attitude at that time that no, if the Lord, don't you tell me, if the Lord tells me, I'll do it. So the Lord did. And he told me, you got to give that up. And I made the decision. I came home. That's it, no more dope. My friend rang me up. Hey, Mike, you want to come around for a smoke? unknown. No, I'm a Christian. What? And end of the day, I went around and got stoned with him. So that was probably less than 24 hours after my big decision that I'm going to stop smoking dope. And right there, I learned something. I learned that if I was going to live the Christian life, I needed a power inside of me that was willpower. What the heck's that? Will nothing. I couldn't willpower nothing. I needed the power of God. The power of God, yeah. The power of the Holy Spirit to help me. Willpower? No idea what willpower was. My mind was, if it felt good, do it. That was my mind. So I had to get my mind renewed and get the power of God. And I want to encourage you today that if you make a choice for righteousness, the power of God will come alongside you. Boom. Help you. Help you. Help you to live victorious. I think that's... Let's get the worship team back. Thank you, team. There's two people I want to pray for today as we close our service. We'll pray for anything, but there's two in particular. And one is those who want to give their life and surrender their life to Jesus Christ, because that's the greatest thing you can ever do. And if you're at that point in your life where you feel, you know, I'm going to try this, I'm going to give this a go, and I want to start that journey of following Christ, I'd like to pray for you today. Maybe it's even a returning back, getting back on that track. You want to get back on that track. I want to pray for you today, give you an opportunity to do that, to connect with the Lord. The second one is just in the whole area of addictions. And I'm not going to have an altar call for those who have a porn addiction to come forward. Those kind of altar calls are not normally that successful. You're all flip, you know. No, we're just going to have addictions in general. And I'm not even going to ask you to come up. I'm going to pray for you as you stand just in the congregation here. But why don't we all stand together? Yeah. Yeah. And if this morning during the preaching, we're going to finish up with those two areas. But this morning during the preaching and during the worship, you know, you're in that place of saying to yourself, you know, I want to start this journey with Christ. I don't know where it's going to land. I don't know where it's going to go, but I want to make a start. I want to surrender my life to Christ, and I want to begin that journey. It might be a journey of coming home to Him, or it may be a fresh journey for you. Just with all the eyes closed and the heads bowed, just wave your hand around and show me that indicates you. Just lift your hand up high at the front, at the back. Yep, there's a couple of people here. A couple of people down the back there, great. That's awesome. Okay, we'll put your hand back down, and that's great. And if anyone else wants to join in with this prayer today too, that would be great. So let's pray together. Father, I thank you for sending Jesus to the cross to die for my sins and make a way for me to come back home to you. So, Lord Jesus, I open up my heart today and say, come unto me by your Spirit. Empower me today to walk this new life with you. Amen. So, Father, just for those ones today, Lord, who are beginning their journey, Lord, I pray for your Spirit, Lord, to be upon them powerfully. Lord, to reassure them today that they are a son or a daughter of the Most High God. Lord God, that you would push them onto the right path, gently, gently prod them on with your angels, with your Spirit. Give them a great hunger for your word today, and a great hunger to know you. That would be greater than any other desire that they've ever had. Praise you, Lord. If you're dealing with an addiction today, So you can jump in on both of these things, giving your life to Christ and addiction. But if you're dealing with an addiction today, and I only mentioned one thing, but it can be many, many areas. So you might be addicted. I think the Lord showed me that we're all addicted to food, all of us. And we'll some of us more than others. But we're going to, that's another message for another day, our addiction to food. But if today the Lord's speaking to you about a habitual sin in your life and you want to lay that at the cross today, whatever it may be, just raise your hand high and we're just going to pray. We're not going to pull you out the front, embarrass you or anything like that. We're going to pray for you. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Because the power of the Lord is God bless you. You can put your hand back down. That's great. Father, I want to thank you right now, Lord, for the power of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And Lord, we declare this morning that he who the Son sets free shall be free indeed. And for every brother and sister here this morning struggling with addiction, we declare in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that addiction broken over their life, broken over their life, broken in the name of Jesus. Chemical addiction, emotional addiction, every kind of habit that's not glorifying to you, we break them and we put them under your feet. Put them under our feet today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now, what Jackie Pullinger found very powerful in the ministry in Hong Kong for the heroin addicts is she got them to receive Christ and then be filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And that powerfully set heroin addiction addicts free. I would encourage you, give your life to Christ, get full of the Holy Spirit. Shall we praise the Lord?